And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
Where did we go?
Well, we went away for a week.
Oh.
Not literally away, but we weren't here. We haven't been on the air since a week ago.
Gotcha. Okay.
Jay, are you following this? Did I have to explain that? You got that, right?
No, you were a little confusing.
I thought, okay.
It just sounded like we were coming back from a break.
Yeah.
You thought that we were here before.
We'd been here the whole time.
Do you want to take it again?
No.
Hi, we're here for the first time.
No, that doesn't work either.
No, that's also...
Because we've been here before.
But, all right, you guys got to come up with something in the middle then.
No, it's your job. You're
thanks.
You're the
that was super thing. Helpful. You guys are.
I'm the third mic. I'm just here to fucking. I throw bombs.
Excuse.
I'm a bomb thrower.
Wow, that's the most bullshit way to say not my job.
Yeah.
I have a job. that is not mine. Okay. You are correct.
Everyone loves people who say not my job. So it's one of everybody. All your coworkers. If you're the person who says, "Hey man, not my job," all your coworkers
not
love
my
you.
Monkey, not my circus.
Any version of that, it's like great. Everyone loves you. Yeah. You're a team player. Thank you.
Do you want? You could pay me extra and I'll.
Wait,
like two water bottles a day.
You guys get paid? What the fuck?
You up my water bottle count, you know.
You want that added? You want
if you add that to my rider?
Making more things
look,
your job.
Jay's trying to get
what am I adding to your rider?
No, I'm having a consensual business arrangement with you here.
Jay's trying to renegotiate his contract.
You bullshit. Have nothing, no ground to stand on. I don't pay you.
You pay me in water bottles.
Out of my own courtesy, I give you a water
bottle.
Well,
if you gave me two, I might want to work
here.
A little harder.
That's not how this. It's not a form of currency.
It can be.
Just grease the wheels, Dave.
This is why bartering doesn't work. You need a universal intermediary. That's just a water bottle, Jay. You want another one?
But if it has value.
If only the value that we assign to it.
Correct.
And I assign very little because there's a. Box of them over
well,
there.
I assign very little value to coming up with a new intro.
Wow.
So I believe,
all
sir.
Right.
Fair enough. That's not going in, what's going into your contract. What's going into your contract is just making more things your job. You just got to step up on everything.
That's a hard pass for me.
See that?
Fair
no
enough.
Second water bottle.
Yeah, no.
All
no.
of a sudden, the tables have turned.
Damn it.
Brandon, you looking for a promotion?
Yeah, I kind
of
am.
I'm looking for somebody to say yes to a lot of shit.
Yeah, dude. I'll yes at all day.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. There's water bottles over there.
Well, I don't mind if I do it a minute. I'll grab one.
All right, so what's the new intro?
High demand. We don't really have an intro. We always just come into the beginning.
Our intro
portion.
Is officially after the... After the
That's eat. True.
Right.
Yeah. This is just the cold open, I guess.
So I could have had another water bottle for free?
Bad at negotiating, Jay.
Shit. Foiled again.
You got to take Brandon's negotiating class.
Yeah.
It's doing,
master
he's doing very well.
Negotiator.
You're a master something.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
It's called The Art of the Wheel and Deal. People keep buying it because they think it's Trump's book. It's actually a more brilliant business strategy than anything Donald Trump has
Art
ever done.
Of the Wheel
Good
and
work,
deal.
Brandon.
I love it. Thank you.
Put Trump's picture on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally. On it. He's, Trump sued him, but he can't actually find him, so it's not doing him any good. He was like, I won't pay you. And Brandon's like, you weren't paying me before. And he's like, damn it.
So speaking of Trump, he's in a fight with Mayor de Blasio.
I figured that would be a good segue for you
course.
Guys to say something
this
about
is,
Trump. See how that worked?
This is our performative gesture
that's
of the week.
That's my
job. Not hard.
Go ahead, Jay.
This is your performative gesture of the week.
Okay.
Mayor de Blasio is going to be painting a giant Black Lives Matter mural, I guess.
I don't really know what it is either, but
outside of Trump Tower. Instead of meaningful police reform, we got a mural.
Well, Jay, I can't remember if we were talking about this on or off air, but we were talking about last week how if you take away money from policing, you can obviously allocate those funds to something else. And murals seems like a worthwhile cause. They're doing exactly what
exactly,
everyone wants them to
do. We just want murals to try to troll the president. Who, to his like credit, got baited into this Twitter war now with de Blasio because,
of
you know.
Great.
It's not like he's running a fucking country, and de Blasio, it's not like you're running a fucking city.
Yeah, right?
Listen.
Jesus.
At this point, everybody, including Donald Trump, has lost the plot. I don't think anyone knows what they're arguing for or against. Everyone knows they're just upset, and it's just everyone's doing crazy shit. So, like, Donald Trump, and I'm a guy who, like, I can see the strategy behind a lot of weird things Donald Trump does. He's going A little bit.
He's leaning way too far into the culture war issue. Yeah.
I just think he's falling apart a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I think he's lashing out at things like a lot of he used to be funny and quippy and like ha.
Funny's a word.
Zinger. Okay. And I'm out. Now he's like getting dragged into like a lot of like and saying and tweeting a lot of like
heinous shit.
Heinous is a strong word, but sure, you can use that.
From some perspectives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm concerned about his reelection odds for the first time in 4 years.
I don't think he's...
No, he's not going to...
And thus, he's going to get reelected.
I'm super concerned that I might lose $200.
Didn't you have, I was going to say, I was actually thinking about that this morning.
Wait a minute. This whole time you've had money riding on
yeah,
this?
No,
oh, you know
this?
No.
Know that?
So I got like 5 to 1
because of 200 fucking bucks.
Oh no, dude! I thought I told you this. I don't care if the guy wins or not. I just figured it was pretty much an inevitability.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, might as well make a buck off it. So I got like 5 to 1 odds right after the like initial election when everyone was all like, oh, fucking, that's no way he could have won the presidency, right? And then like the longer he got in, the odds got better and better, and now like they're getting worse. But yeah, I put down like a $50 wager. I was going to get like $250 if Trump could fucking hold it together for 4 fucking years, bro. I mean,
he tried.
I mean, he tried. Everybody tried. Yeah. Everyone's trying.
Yeah.
He put himself on the and with cuz I saw the new Battleground State polls this morning, and I thought of you because I thought of your bet. And I was like, "Oh, yeah. Dave's going to lose money because I look at it, the closest he's running is down 6 in Florida to Biden. Everything else is 8. Then like Michigan is double digits. Like
with this economy,
Arizona
I don't
is double
know if
digits.
I can lose that money, guys. I gotta go out. I gotta start campaigning. I really gotta turn it up a notch.
Sell your soul. For
it's
a
the first time
bucks.
I've really been concerned. Yeah. About, and first of all, I'm not 100% sure that those polls
concerned,
are indicative.
Excited. Sorry.
No. Yeah, you're right. No, that's fine. Absolutely.
Concerned is what you feel?
Sure.
No, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about the idea of Donald Trump not being president.
You're concerned about losing $50.
I know you're concerned about losing the vote.
No, I'm concerned from the point of somebody who when you think something is an inevitability and then it becomes less of an inevitability, I'm concerned that what I thought was going to happen is not going to happen. I don't feel a certain way about it either way.
Okay.
I'm just, oh, I'm surprised. Maybe I was wrong about that. But first of all, I don't think the polls are super indicative because we all remember what happened last
time. Well, yes and no. But the polls were within, when you look at the Battleground State polls, and when you, I've done some reading on this and from both right and left, anyone who's telling you, and this is, I mean, whatever, like, we don't have Trump supporters who listen, but like anybody who's telling you that this is the same as last time in terms of polls is just lying to you. Yeah. The polls last time in the battleground, the general election poll was off by 1 percentage point. The polls in the battleground states were off by 2 percentage points within the margin of error. Generally, it's not like they got it that wrong, which is what like everybody on the right is their huge talking point is, well, the polls were so wrong. When you actually correct for everything that was going on, you take into account that Republicans are generally a little bit undersampled in polls, which is true. You edge more for about 2 points to the Republican side. And when you factor that in and you look back at the polls, yeah, they were pretty spot on. Michigan was an outlier. Absolutely. Michigan had Hillary by 6.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, because I was of the same thought about a month ago where I was like, well, the polls are close enough that like, Biden's up by 1 or 2 in a state, but when you realistically look at it, that probably means they're either running even or Trump's up a point.
Well, I definitely think Trump's down.
Now
but
it's...
There's time between now and the election for a lot of things to happen where that can change. It's just, this is the first time I think he's actually been down, like, realistically. Like, when you check things like Vegas odds, like, those, I could give a shit about the fucking polls.
Yeah.
Like, what I care about is what the fucking gamblers think is good. Right. These guys are making serious bets for or against and balancing books. I want to know what those guys are fucking making on their markets. So, when those metrics shifted, that's when I became more concerned. You could talk about polls all day. They were wrong enough last time. They could be wrong enough this time. It doesn't really matter. I trust the gamblers more than I trust. I tend to subscribe to Joe Rogan's policy on polls, which is polls are always answering the question, what do the dumbest people have time to take polls, think about something? I took a poll once, and it was because I was on work at work, and I did it on the clock.
Yeah. Nice.
I was working late, and I was putting data into like a spreadsheet, and I got this call. I thought it was a work call. I picked it up. Hi, do you have a couple minutes to take to answer a few questions about what blah blah? And it was all political shit. And I was like, you know what?
I think I do.
But generally, when
I think I do have the time.
When you look at that, and you look at the crosstabs too, like the breakdown of who's answering what, he's losing support in the demographics he won. And that's why the odds in Vegas are shifting, because he's lost about 10 points in 65 and up, which is the demographic that votes the most, right? Yep. They're the most diehard voters, and they were his biggest supporters. So he's still leading in 65 and up, but it's like a 1-point lead right now where
if Joe Biden can stay off camera,
yes,
so he doesn't scare people,
it's this.
Pick a half decent vice president. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's gonna pick a cop.
Yeah,
he's gonna pick either Kamala or
you think so?
What's her face from Florida, Val Demings?
I don't even know who Val Demings is.
She's a representative.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Kamala Harris, I've at least heard of. She's the woman who put all those people in prison.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem like a great idea.
For longer
right?
than they should have been, that, I think.
You would be correct.
I don't remember all the details.
No, you would be correct in those details. The details that you remember, Dave, are correct.
Okay. All right. I'm sure she's got some good qualities,
I'm
too.
I'm sure it's a great idea in this climate that to kind of pick a fucking cop for vice president.
I'm not even concerned about the optics of that. I'm more concerned with the practice of her law enforcement practices.
Yes.
She has a proven record of doing something shady already.
Yeah.
In a field where you exercise an extreme amount of control over other human beings. Mm-hmm. It's not the person I want in the second to the top chair.
Nope.
In an ever-expanding federal government.
I think it's...
But go to town.
He's on
whatever
the,
you want to do, Joe.
The problem with Trump is he's on the wrong end of two of the biggest issues that are driving like people to the polls, and that's coronavirus, and now that's the BLM protests. Yeah. And these are 80-20 issues. Like, inconsistently polled 80-20 approval of BLM protests and some like the culture war on the masks, right? That's an 80-20. Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself on the other end of that. And like, again, I've never run for office, but it just doesn't seem like to me, if Donald Trump, if you're listening, here's some free campaign advice. Don't put yourself on the wrong end of an 80-20 issue. Like, it's just, it's so,
I don't, yeah.
It's not a culture war that you're going to win. You could win against Hillary on culture war shit because Hillary was an objectively just, and Biden's an objectively shitty, but Hillary was.
Yeah. Hillary was shittier. Let's be real.
And you
Hillary
had,
was a worse candidate.
Yes.
And you had the Fox
News
machine.
She was a woman.
Machine.
That was
another thing. And you had the Fox News machine for, what, 20 years or 15 years that were just like churning out.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit piece after hit piece. Like that base was fired up to not vote for Hillary Clinton. Yeah. That base fucking hated Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
It was the easiest candidate to not vote for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the conversation I was having with the soup lady earlier this week. She was the same thing. She's like, I couldn't pull the lever for Hillary Clinton. I couldn't. She was just terrible. Now, she, of course, had like lizard person conspiracy theories.
Well, hey, listen, some conspiracy theories are more credible than others, Jay. What kind of lizard person theories? Did you think they were everywhere or just some places?
Well, have you seen the movie V?
The documentary.
The documentary film V
yeah. that they remade into a documentary series that I think was abruptly canceled.
It was
at
in
the
like
end
the
of the documentary.
Third season?
Once the true facts that they were documenting ran out.
That was a good show. I liked the...
Wait, the remake or the old one?
I liked the show.
I couldn't get into the remake show thing.
I couldn't get into the remake either, but I've seen the old one. It was pretty
I've never seen the old one. Maybe well, that's why I couldn't
Maybe
get
we'll
it.
Do that on an episode sure. of this podcast.
Because the original one was just
we talk
a
about movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they made a TV show after it. Never mind.
Did they make a TV show of the original... Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you guys watch any extremely long movies lately?
Jesus Christ.
We're going to make you pay for that.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know how, but
whatever.
Let's just punch him a few times.
I'm upset. We're going to get into it. Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't have a script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, Seven Samurai and The Magnificent Seven. guys, wow, Brandon, I hate you so much.
So, like,
initial feelings, Jay? Thoughts and feelings, just whatever comes to your mind and your heart.
There was an intermission.
There was an intermission in this movie.
You texted me, and I thought, so, like, I legit thought you were fucking around. I was like, there's a fucking, he's fucking kidding. And fucking.
First movie we've ever watched with an intermission. Thanks, Brandon. This is a baller suggestion.
It was
3.5 hours.
It's one of those movies that you can, like, you can look at and respect where certain movies have drawn inspiration from it.
Absolutely.
And you can you can respect the cinematography of it.
All right. 100%. We can, look, that's what I was like. If I would have to sit here to debate the merits of it.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not
going to. It is objectively a classic.
It is objectively a classic movie. But it's also
one of those.
Could have
been in it 2 hours.
But it's also hard work to watch it, guys.
It is a chore.
It was hard work.
It's like Citizen Kane is a fucking masterpiece.
It's close. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Citizen Kane.
But it's also a slog to sit through, too.
It is like.
How long is Citizen Kane?
It's 2 hours.
2 hours. I would never.
Not
recommend anybody just sit through it for
unless you are a student, like a student or a fan of film, you know, like I wouldn't recommend that or this movie.
Yeah.
Like if you are a fan of film and like just in general, if you are like a student of film, Seven Samurai is a really good movie.
This is a good movie.
Just it's
a fucking
you have to work to watch it.
No one's saying this isn't a good movie,
yeah.
Brandon. It's 3.5 hours.
Looking back, I would have said we watched just that movie this week.
And then
the other two.
The other two.
Sorry about that. My bad.
I thought about that as I was watching it.
Yeah, we should.
But I was like, you know what? These suckers are going to have to do the same fucking thing I just went through.
Yeah. The movie is good. It's just, it is arduous because you have to read the subtitles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as
the whole thing's in black and white, which can be frustrating.
Yeah, it can be.
I actually thought it did a really good job of, because when there's no color, obviously, the foreground and the background and people moving through stuff, and dark scenes can be very hard to see what's going on.
But
I think this movie did a really good job.
Yes.
But still, being in black and white, in action scenes, it's hard to see.
Yes.
What's happening.
Was very, I wished it was in color. There were a couple of reasons why I was like, oh, if it were in color, you could give the samurais different color outfits and you could actually visually tell who they were.
Although they were.
They did have distinctive.
Pretty distinct, these
but
samurai.
A couple times I would get them mixed up, like at a distance, because there were a lot of those long shots. This was one of the first films to use a telephoto lens, like a long lens.
Oh.
And that was so that he could get those big action scenes, he could film it from multiple angles at once. So it was pretty revolutionary.
Can you guys tell me who the seven samurai were?
I can name a few.
Sneezy, dopey, goofy, bashful.
I could not name a single samurai except for maybe Kiyoshi, Kiyachichi, Chichichichi, but...
Kikuchi, yeah.
Thank you.
He's like the drunk wild guy.
I think I could tell you like who they all were. Like there was Deadly Samurai.
Yeah.
Who was just the guy who...
Who was just like, you see him first with the duel, that guy?
Yeah,
that guy. Who just like sidesteps.
There's
just like,
Kyazo.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's original nice guy samurai who takes the job.
The old guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Mifune from Godzilla.
Sure.
Yeah.
There is old friend of his who just happens to show up.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
There is
Gunbai is one of them. Gunbai?
Similar looking guy.
Jovial guy.
Was the smiling guy is what I call him throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Who's very similar to old friend guy.
Yes.
That was confusing.
Yeah, it was. So they were
the rest of them were fairly distinct. And then then of course there was did we say drunk?
Yeah,
great. Drunk guy,
Kikuchi.
Right. Well, there was young kid guy, the young samurai who wasn't really a samurai,
Kensushi?
Right?
Kensushi, like his name was like Kensushi. Yeah,
he was the guy who
he
had
was
the
like
story.
The apprentice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so what is that? Five. We're missing two.
One of them. Is that? Hold on.
You said the young guy.
Young guy.
The young
guy.
The first guy.
Old guy.
Okay, go ahead.
And then we got Kyoza was the deadly guy. We had the two. Jovial dudes. Hmm. I'm missing one.
I know,
it wasn't
right?
that important.
Doc.
Sleepy and Doc.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the movie was good despite the fact that the characters may have been less than memorable.
I will, but I have to say that's partially because
it's tough when
Japanese.
I was
black
say.
And white, and the subtitle.
It's a subtitled. It's always tough to.
Yes.
To imprint when it's a subtitle.
It was almost like watching an opera. Like, I wish we had like reference cards as you're watching it. Like, yes. Oh yeah, that's so-and-so. Okay, cool.
And in a movie where all of that is going on, to also have seven samurai, seven mm-hmm. guys who are essentially like the seven-man crew who you're supposed to be keeping up with all mm-hmm. of them, plus all the other, plus the farmers, yeah. plus the woman, daughter, the one woman in existence,
right.
plus the bad guys, plus everybody, the people in town. Like
that guy's, that one farmer, like the main farmer who's, mm-hmm. who had that like horribly dark story about his wife. And, like,
yes.
Fucking, then she kills herself. Like, I was like, oh, this movie got darker than I expected. I was like,
woodcutter
wow.
guy.
What? Yeah.
Woodcutter guy.
Oh, you're right. The Charles
woodcutter who gets killed in the raid.
In that raid,
where they
yes,
find the that fire. Guy's wife.
That's such a fucked up scene.
Which
isn't
was
it?
The best scene and also the most unnecessary scene in the movie because they totally cut it out in the Magnificent Seven.
They
and
did.
Didn't even notice.
It did. Yeah. No. Well, the
it was great scene.
We'll get to the differences because like when we get to that because like. It was the same movie up until a certain point, and then it went boo. It totally changed the narrative. But up until that point, it was almost beat for beat. Anyways, but I think the original one, it's like the use of music is really good. It's sparing, you know, you don't hear much music. The scenery doesn't play as much of a part as Magnificent Seven for sure. Like that was
sure
had that extra added benefit of the scenery. Although, they tried, but
they have a really
the set was amazing.
They have a really great bit with the map and they where they cross
that was
out
awesome.
The enemies
you
as
get
they
the geography
them.
Of the battle that you're going to get later.
He
that
says
was perfect.
We're gonna flood this field mm-hmm. and then they're gonna have to come from here. We're gonna have a wall here.
Absolutely,
it was really tactically you know brilliant and consistent and made sense for a movie that's about samurai. Mm-hmm. So
defending this little village, right. Yeah. And I love that you got those like the staging areas set up so you understand what was happening in the big battle at the end. Yeah.
Right. It made it so it wasn't just a thousand Federation ships and 1,000 ships
exactly, yeah.
staring at each other and then just lasers. it was a good battle. You knew what was going on. Yeah. You were emotionally invested.
I love the counting where they're counting down
yes.
how many they're
the
taking out.
X and amount.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, they knew exactly how many guys they had to kill.
Yes. Yeah.
Tactically phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, by the way, the perfect movie to watch after our discussion about
yeah,
the
I was
way
gonna
of the
say,
warrior.
I was gonna say, yeah. It was pretty perfect.
And
yeah.
how the wise old samurai was trying to tell the young samurai and the drunk samurai
yeah.
to be like, hey, it's not all about hitting things with a sword. It's not all about adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think with your mind, and you have to be able to think big picture.
Yeah.
There's a battle going on. I can't be worried about stabbing somebody with a sword. And those two characters. The essentially the disciple characters
yeah.
is what I was calling them were combined into the super disciple character in the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
he was the young disciple and
also
the drunk,
crazy drunk ex
who
was
trying
farmer.
To prove himself.
Yeah,
ex farmer. Yes.
Yeah, that was weird that they melded those two together. I didn't love it, but
I didn't mind it. It was just conspicuous after watching the original.
I just kept getting.
If you're
going to
cut 2 hours,
what
you have to cut.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
it makes
yeah.
sense why they would have to combine.
Yeah.
You can't do character development. You can do character development for 7 people in a fucking 3.5-hour movie.
It's tough.
In a 2-hour movie, it makes it. You kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a really good job at developing. I think they were good cuts. I think the Magnificent Seven is a good 2-hour version. Of the seven samurai.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because what did they cut? They cut the whole bit where they kind of ambush them and that one guy dies.
Mm-hmm.
They cut the love story.
The love story was
it wasn't as played up. It certainly wasn't as emotional.
No, yeah,
it was not.
There wasn't a whole thing with her dad.
Yeah, that whole
it
thing.
It was just a basic love story.
Like that
there
part
was no,
in the original one was really good.
Very like, good. Disturbingly and
yeah,
good.
Like, I don't know.
But you didn't need it.
No, you didn't need it in the end, but Kurosawa had much more of an epic to tell, I feel. And
yeah, well, he put an intermission in.
And then, but no, and granted, as soon as America got it, they're like, all right, we're just going to replace this person. Eh, that person's going to be the same thing. Boom, 2-hour movie. And it's perfect. It's like a perfect movie. It's really good. The Magnificent Seven was excellent as well.
It was tight. It was no intermission, which mm-hmm. I loved. We're watching Patton next week.
We're doing Patton? All right.
It's the only other movie I can think of with an intermission.
No, we're not fucking watching Patton.
We would do Patton alone 1 week. It's I think it is 3 hours
of
an intermission.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's the only other movie I've ever watched with an intermission. I saw an intermission and I was immediately like Patton. Shit.
Fair enough.
But altogether, I thought, what'd you guys think of The Magnificent Seven versus The Seven Samurai?
I mean, I preferred The Magnificent Seven, I think, to Seven Samurai. I just think from a length perspective alone.
Also, I mean, we speak English.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to follow.
Obviously, a biased perspective.
I think they're, I could take them as their own separate thing. I definitely, I wouldn't say I prefer one or the other. I think they're both. Because one of them, you have to want to sit down for 3.5 hours and read subtitles.
Yeah.
And there's rare times where I'm in the mood for that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But it is its own thing, and I think The Seven Samurai is an amazing adaptation of it. Or Magnificent is an amazing Western adaptation of it.
And I think the fact, first of all, Christine was amazed that it was a Western. I tried to like tell her that beforehand, and she didn't quite understand. And she was like, wait, this isn't about
samurai.
But
Westerns are,
like, yes.
Westerns are... Yes. Like it's
that's
know,
and
it's
actually I was reading a little
genre.
Bit about that like Kurosawa has like had seen a ton of John Ford Western movies before he made his movies, so like there was Western influences in Seven Samurai.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like, oh wow. Well, that
I think
sense.
There has always been a lot of crossover between those two dramatifications of historical periods.
Yes, yeah, it fits so almost so perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. The lone warrior who comes into town and saves them from some local thug who's abusing people.
Yeah,
like it's a Fistful of Dollars. That was all Yojimbo.
That's
shit.
Exactly yes.
Like there's
that's
a
the same
lot
guy.
Of...
That's the same guy who played Kikuchi. The same guy who played Yojimbo.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Mad Dog McCree. Sorry, that's what I was getting flashbacks to with the acting during it, because like during the movie was great, like the delivery of the lines, little hammy at times, but they were
stellar.
But then during the fight scenes and during the action scene at the end, like the gunshots, whenever somebody would get shot and they would just stumble back five steps and then.
And they have like the Pepto-Bismol looking blood. Yeah. Like,
I was like, this is
Western.
Like Mad Dog McCree.
Yeah.
It was so fucking funny.
They were very selective in where they used like squibs. And I don't even think they had squibs.
They didn't really, not many,
equivalent was.
Yeah. They just had blood packs.
Yeah. When a main character died, they were like, he gets blood.
Yeah. Yes.
Everybody else, they were like, we're going to paint a little dot on your shirt.
And then you're going to tumble real quick so nobody
now.
Sees. Yeah.
Yeah. Put your hand over it. Make sure you're putting your hand over it.
Yeah. It was very stereotypical. What year was that one? I didn't...
60.
Oh, 60.
They're really,
okay, wow.
It was 54 and 60. It was amazing how close together they were.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that they even credited it. Like, it wasn't like a... Like, this is just a movie we made up on our own. Like, they didn't try to cover
it up. I noticed
they
credited
that. Based on...
I feel like I've heard people get angry that this is like a copy of that movie, and then I saw it said in there. I was
it's like it's right there.
It's like he's saying it right there. He's not hiding it. It is a copy of the movie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was shocked to see that, and
but it's an adaptation. Let's be real; it's not a remake. I'd say it's more of an adaptation.
It's not a re. It's an adaptation. It's
like a redo.
What are those words really?
Reimagine. Yeah. It almost be a reimagine.
What does all that mean? Somebody took an idea that somebody else had done and adapted it.
The story beats are close enough that like it just cuts some stuff.
Yes.
But I thought the characters, at least in The Magnificent Seven, like I could tell you all those guys. I'm confident.
Yeah.
I thought they leapt off the screen more than in, for all the reasons we talked about, obviously the biased English language thing, the black and white
also,
versus
the
color.
We know who the fuck they are. Like,
and the fact that a lot of them were famous
all of them,
actors.
Except the one guy, the guy who died for the gold. He was like,
I
could.
I liked him.
I don't know him, but everybody else I do. Yeah.
There was him.
Yep.
And there was Fancy Pants.
Robert Vaughn, yeah.
There was the Fancy Pants is the guy in the vest.
Yeah.
Who the coward?
Robert Vaughn.
There's
that was like the nightmare. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, there's Steve McQueen. There's
who was sort of he played kind of like the hybrid of the right hand man old friend and the
the other guy was the old friend.
You're right.
He was the right hand man.
They interchanged the qualities. It confused
me. He was the laughing guy.
Yeah.
He was the happy guy. He was the I'm in. He was the first guy to sign up.
Okay.
He was the second person is always the most important.
Yeah.
To establish followers.
Okay.
You need that one person to be like, I'm with you, and then everyone else goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
$20. Got a job at the job at the store, and then two.
Yeah.
Throws
exactly.
up the fingers.
That was good.
Yeah, he's that was Steve McQueen, the original guy, obviously, whose name I don't remember, but
Yul Brynner?
Yul Brynner,
Chris?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was wood chopping guy who was
Charles
Bronson.
Death Wish.
So that's six we were missing. There's seven. Young guy,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All characters just
all
leapt right off the screen.
Yeah.
They all got a
James
little
Coburn.
Bit of...
Yeah, don't forget James Coburn.
James Coburn.
He was the dual guy with the knife. The tall guy.
Yeah, the knife looker.
Yeah, James Coburn.
Murder guy.
Murder guy.
he was the most effective killer in both movies. That was what his character was.
Mm-hmm.
He embodied the way of the warrior in the sense that he only lived to best to challenge himself by besting other opponents. He didn't want to take that guy's life, but that guy insisted on proving himself. Yep. And he was like, "Well, we're gonna have to then."
Yep.
There's only one way to find out for sure.
Like right up until I forget which scene, but it's like almost literally beat for beat. Up until a certain point.
Well, it's like the ambush.
Is it?
I think it's the ambush.
It's
where
once they start interacting with... Yeah, it's the ambush. When they call them into town first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We find out that our townspeople have betrayed us.
That's later. But yeah, that's what that happens.
I thought that was the ambush you were talking about.
No, we're talking about the ambush when they bring them in town first, because they don't do that in Seven Samurai.
Yes. Oh, you're right, right.
That's where it starts to diverge, and then it really then takes.
When you first have the confrontation between the Seven Magnificent Seven.
But then at the betrayal of the townspeople, I think, is where... Then it's... It takes a
totally different tack.
Jug handle out and then kind of rejoins right at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy, the betrayal of the town people, because after watching The Seven Samurai...
Yeah, I liked that about The Seven Samurai. I was like, no, this is all they have. Like, they have to defend this. You're not going to get... Even the guy who's pissed about the samurai sleeping with his daughter, like, even he's not going to.
They made a deal.
Yeah.
They made a deal with the bad guy. Deal with the devil.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of liked it as a twist.
Yeah.
Knowing how The Seven Samurai was going and, like, expecting it to fold out the same way. When that happened, I was like, oh, okay.
Right,
I
think, fair enough.
Instead of paying a little more attention again.
Instead of, like, burning the house and all that, like they did in The Seven Samurai, I liked that as a, like, a modification almost. Because that's right at the point in the movie where you would have had that ambush in Seven Samurai. So.
I don't know. Once they start fighting, the narrative and rhythm of it changes. Like, it's different. Where the Seven Samurai is leading up just to that final battle.
And the final battle is the whole second half of the movie,
pretty much. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where this one, it was like, oh, we're going to do this. And we pulled them in. We killed a bunch of them. Then we're going to go scout a little bit. We're going to come back. And then, oh, they betrayed us. We got to go. Got to come back.
And then come back and fucking fuck them up. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Magnificent Seven did definitely, there were more sporadic moments of action, combat, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas, basically, in the Seven Samurai, after the intermission, like that was the supposed to be like the day of the battle, or whatever. And then that whole next half of the movie is basically 2 days, I guess,
because
it occurs overnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's the battle.
Got like Game of Thrones vibes, honestly, from that. That's the one episode before the Battle of Winterfell
last season.
Right, and they have that one episode where it's like just everybody sitting around a fire, like talking, and then that's the first half, and then getting to know everybody, and then the second half was just the battle.
Right,
this was better than that Game of Thrones.
This is way better.
But
the battle in the Seven Samurai was nice because they interspersed enough human drama in that battle to make it.
Yep.
The drunk guy who goes to steal the rifle.
Oh yeah,
I loved that scene.
That was a great scene.
He was
probably the best part of that movie, wasn't he? Like, he carried it, right?
Oh, I really liked the murder samurai.
Oh, he was good too, but personality-wise, drunk guy carried the shit out of it.
Oh yeah.
The whole joke was, Kikuji is like a combination of two female names, so it'd be like Betty Sue, and he's illiterate, and he picked a name off of this scroll, and unknowing to him, it was a 13-year-old girl, essentially somebody who could only be 13, and it was a girl. So he's like, oh yeah, this is me, I'm royalty, I'm samurai, and they're like, oh yeah, 13-year-old girl, okay, sure, whatever you say.
I kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah. And then there's that scene where he pulls.
I just thought he couldn't read, so he like didn't know where he was on the thing.
No,
on the scroll.
No, he even says later, like, this was me, as he's, which is,
oh, right,
oh,
kind,
this
of,
is me,
a farmer. Kind of a blatant scene, but it was really good, so powerful. Where he's, you know, they're pulling this kid out of the burning mill
after the mom like,
literally just like
or whatever
dies trying to hand this kid off, and then he's just like, oh my god, this is fucking me.
He has a moment.
It's horrible
because all those people were stupid.
They were in both
movies. They just wouldn't give up like a couple houses.
Yes, agreed.
And it's all the wisest guy in the village, the old man's fault, because he's
in both movies they both feel
I'm
like
gonna stay
thing.
Out there because I'm ready to die, not assuming that somebody would come out to look for you.
Yeah.
Which is what fucking happens in both movies, because that's the obvious conclusion of, I'm just going to stay here and die, guys.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Stupid.
They were very stupid. But they were dumb farmers. They make fun of them the whole movie. That, or at least the Kikuyu does, where he's like, fuck them and their fucking dirt that they fucking farm. Like, I hate them. It's that self-loathing. Yeah. But he's right about what he says. And that awesome
and
scene
where they're hoarding.
Yes, that's the scene where he's talking to them, but the camera, he's looking dead on, and he tells that whole story of, like, he's like, they're fucking awful, and they hide everything, and that's all they care about. And they're monsters. But who made the monsters? You guys. The military men, the samurai, coming in and steal, you know, just defiling their women and burning their fields and... It was very haunting. I don't know. I like that scene. That was the shining moment of that movie for me.
I liked how all the food was. Well, the whole
that was interesting too. Yeah, where
the food was so valuable.
Yeah,
like just a bowl of rice was just like this massive.
And when they were eating millet, and
really drove it home.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah. Well, they gave the samurai all the rice, and they're like, all right, well, let's hand it out. Let's be good dudes, and they hand it out to all the kids and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the beginning of the movie where they're in, like, the inn, quote
unquote.
That's where
I was like, I'm going to fucking fall asleep in this movie. But then I got into
it. It was raining outside, and then there was those two gamblers who were assholes.
Yeah,
and
it was just caricature of deadbeat-looking guys, yeah.
Yeah, and Christina's like, what is happening?
They're essentially in a thatch hut. Yeah.
And I was like, this is an inn.
It's like a cheap inn.
This is like, when you're in a town that doesn't have much, where do you think you're going to stay in the 1600s or whatever it was?
Yeah, exactly. It was like 15.
And they brought all their own rice with them. Yes. And they slept with holding the jar so nobody would steal it. Yeah. And they still got robbed.
Yep. Exactly.
it really did a good job to set that world.
Yes.
To the low expectations of being
like, you are not
a
talking
farmer
about,
in feudal Japan.
Yes, like you're not talking about the lords and like the samurai we're dealing with are just hired guns. They're just
well, they were Ronin.
Yes, that's the Ronin time. Yeah, this was like the Ronin era or whatever.
There's a whole bunch of roaming lordless samurai who had nothing to do but basically
become
mercenaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hired swords. Yep.
Yeah, and you had this old samurai who clearly the original guy was brought up in like the traditional samurai way and had a respect for that, and it was trying to continually impart onto these two young pupils, you know, this isn't what samurai is supposed to be. These guys, a lot of these people you see are not samurai. You don't emulate them. They're not samurai.
Yes.
And I thought it fit in so well historically with kind of the world building of the world that actually existed.
Yeah, the historical accuracy, if you will, the historical
setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It painted that picture beautifully.
If it was
only in color, I would have
but that's why
so much better.
That's why I feel like it's like a separate movie for Magnificent Seven. Like the Magnificent Seven is popcorn. Like popcorn. Yeah. Look at Yul Brynner. Oh, look at James Coburn.
It's very Western.
Boo. Yeah, yeah. And then this one it's like you have to watch, you have to think. You have to use your brain. You have to read. Like
reading is hard.
It was work to watch The Seven Samurai, but I would recommend it. I definitely would. If you're in the mood to watch some subtitles, and you're getting
the three and a half hour movie.
Just know you're getting into that.
You got to be in the mood.
But it's very good. That being said, I think it is a phenomenal film, and I'm glad I finally got to watch it.
I'd never seen it, so this was the first day.
I literally was just like, oh, Seven Samurai, nobody did.
Yeah, no,
not
I'm definitely,
knowing.
Definitely glad I watched it. Just,
I did not know.
I think Brandon knew exactly what he was doing.
I did not.
I
did not.
He knew exactly
what
he was doing.
I've heard his movies are a little long. Right? I did not know.
And I think
it's a little suspicious.
You should pay him back in kind for that.
Whatever.
Patton twice.
Twice.
That's fine.
What genre of movie does Brandon not like?
I don't love horror.
That sounds like I don't know.
I couldn't even tell you a horror movie. Jesus.
Chainsaw Massacre?
There's like a million remakes of those.
I don't like horror.
Untapped shit that we could do there.
Watch The Ring.
Sure, I've seen it.
The Ring!
I've seen it.
I think Christine watched that recently. Because she's been home, sometimes I'll catch her just watching movies on her pad, and I'm like, what you watching? She's like, something obscure. I'm like, okay, whatever.
No, I've seen The Ring. I think I saw that.
That was a good, I kind of liked that
I saw
movie.
The Japanese one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because that is a remake, right?
Of the Japanese one, and then they made another one.
Yes,
there's fairly recently.
What? Well, it was they were made
early 2010s.
They were made very close together.
Yeah,
yeah. It was another
the
one
Japanese
of those.
One and the American one were, but then they. I feel like I heard they made either made a sequel to it or remade it. I want to say in like the 2010s, which we're still in, but I mean early 2010s. Well, I guess we're not.
Technically, we're in the 2020s now.
2020s. God damn.
Yep.
I don't even. Time doesn't fucking exist anymore.
It doesn't really.
It really doesn't
so weird.
Exist.
You get tripped out. It never existed to begin with.
It's just a fucking concept.
Boom!
Mind blown.
And also, never is not a thing because time didn't exist.
God damn.
Wow.
Also, always.
Oh, man.
Am I high right now?
We'll have to come back from when we come back from our sabbatical. We'll watch a terrible horror movie that Brandon will hate. Maybe we'll look into The Ring and see if it's any good.
I don't. I'm happy that I forced you guys to watch it because I think it was
I am too, Brandon.
It was really good.
It's one of those.
I would have just had us watch this. I apologize.
Things that I'm glad that I suffered through.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like a good workout.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like wow.
Sure.
Boy.
It's good mental.
I would rather watch this than work out.
See, there you go.
Be honest.
It's such a rich movie. Like, that's the word I'm looking for. It's like, it's so rich in all the world building and all the characters in the setting and the film. The cinematography was, for the time, revolutionary. It's just, it's so meaty.
It just reminds me of an episode of Star Trek.
All right, Mike.
Fucking remember. I cannot, and I was thinking about this the whole time I'm watching the movie. And I'm
Seven
like,
Samurai? Really?
This reminds me of a fucking episode of Star Trek.
The Magnificent Frangie, dude, of course.
Is it like the Magnificent? Oh,
that's what
fuck,
it is,
yes, it is the Magnificent Frangie.
The finger thing. Yeah.
God damn it. Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, where they put. Oh, that's just the putting together the team montage.
No, but it's literally called The Magnificent
Frangie. Is the episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. And the whole time I'm like, this is so fucking familiar.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, which also.
Which gives that episode so much more context now that I've seen Magnificent Seven.
It's a terrible episode.
I love it. It's dumb, but I love it.
I love it too.
Most of those Frangie episodes.
Fucking Iggy Pop in it.
Get out of
so
here.
So great.
They're the best.
Oh, God. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
They have some good moments, but overall, no.
Don't you
like
talk about
I mean, what? Brunt, FCA. Like,
Brunt's
okay.
great.
Brunt is
great.
Brunt is great. I'm not saying Brunt's not
all
great.
All nine of those episodes that involved Ferengi side plots in the final season
Wallace Shawn,
are fantastic.
Yeah,
right. You get out of here.
They did fill it with them.
It was a little much.
Wallace Shawn. The worst one is the gender bending one. Oi.
Yeah, that was
one
weird.
Horrible.
That was weird.
That one's all.
Oh, where the little lady Ferengi dresses up like a man Ferengi?
It's Quark. No. Oh, that one is a good
no,
one.
No, that one's
that's
a good,
good
one.
Episode.
Where because then
we're talking about the one where Quark
dresses
up.
Quark dresses up as his mom? Is that how it goes?
I don't think it's his mom.
No, it's not his mom, but a female.
I don't remember how the episode goes.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Oh, I've seen it recently.
And then there's
it's
one in
to get the Slug of Cola account, remember? And it was the meeting was supposed to be with his
oh,
mom.
Yeah. But he has yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that episode. It's fucking funny.
Frankie are just good characters.
They are.
Except in Voyager. They suck.
I can understand. And
right.
Most of TNG.
You hate everything in Voyager.
Most of TNG. They were
they weren't fleshed out yet.
They,
TNG,
well, they tried to make
why.
Them villains at the beginning. They
only
tried to make
in
them
the beginning.
Bad.
In the beginning
yes.
of TNG, yeah. they suck.
Right. They do suck in the beginning of TNG.
Those random
when they got
later,
them to like
they
that.
Had figured them out by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were right. just supposed to be like wimpy Klingons.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like slimy Klingons.
That's what it seemed like.
But then they were like, oh, we're going to make them like uber capitalists.
Yeah.
We're going to go in that room.
They're ANCAPs.
Yeah. So it all has a lot to do with the Magnificent Seven.
But yeah, Magnificent Seven was really good. I haven't watched a good Western in a long time either.
I was going to say, does this answer our question? Is this the origin of the putting together the team montage?
Oh, I don't know.
Because we had talked about it before, how it's very prevalent in
sports
movies.
I think this is one of the tropes. Yeah, I think this is like where it came from. Yeah.
And in heist movies, obviously, but I think heist movies took it from sports movies. Like, and this, a Western...
I think this is like the
this might be the
it.
Original.
Right? 1960?
Yeah, it's pretty far back.
And it's less of a montage and more of a series
a
of scenes.
What was the Ocean's... Was that the first one where
the
they put together?
The original Ocean's movie?
Yeah.
Ocean's
what year
11.
Was that?
I want to say that was like the 50s or...
I don't know.
Earlier.
It was in color. It couldn't have been.
True.
What?
I don't know.
That's not make sense at all.
40... No, well, 40... Three,
I don't know when they colorized 42. Things. When did color
I
come
thought
on?
It was 60s, the Ocean's movie.
I thought it was too.
Yeah,
no, colorizing was 43 or 42.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was at the World's Fair that year.
But I think
it's amazing how much it was still in black and white. You think for Kurosawa that was an artistic decision or that was a necessity?
I don't know. Because they were making... actually, I mean, the only other movie that Toho made that year was Godzilla. And that was also black and white. Hmm. So it could have either been I think it might have been just like
budgeting
that was what
thing,
Toho
like,
was doing. I don't think they had moved to color yet.
Maybe they couldn't get the film over there.
They hadn't done color yet. Yeah, because it was a big deal once Toho started doing color.
Yeah, at the time, 60s. Literally, there may have been the technology to do it in places and other places
that's
couldn't
what
afford
I'm wondering
it or
if
get
they,
their hands
in
on
it. Japan,
yeah.
you're thinking post. It's
it was
still post-war Japan
at
that point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't just download the software.
No.
You know, whatever.
I think it was just, it hadn't made it there yet. And they hadn't really, Toho didn't have that yet. because most of their, all their movies up until
39,
like 60,
Gone with the Wind,
60 was when they finally got color. A few years later,
Gone with the Wind in 39.
Yeah.
I hate that
like
movie.
Wizard of Oz. Really, I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie. It's just so overrated.
Like 3 hours long?
Yes. Very long and very much like everyone's like, oh, Gone with the Wind, Gone with the Wind. And then you watch it and you're like,
no, just don't.
Yeah. I'd like to think Seven Samurai was more entertaining.
Yeah.
I would rather watch Seven Samurai.
Yeah. So the tech was there.
Wrong pipe. Sorry.
Yeah. That's what everyone with coronavirus says. Anyway.
The tech was there. It just, I mean, so it was either an artistic choice.
They just hadn't adopted
they
it,
might
maybe.
Not have, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, Toho wasn't putting out color films at that point, to
Interesting.
My knowledge, so.
Interesting. Well, listen, color is definitely an improvement. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong.
But not to say that there aren't a lot of great black and white movies. It's just when you're going to make... I feel like black and white is better done when it's when you look like it's a scene in a room with a couple people and they're talking.
Yeah, like
when
you have Hitchcock movies are good.
Yeah. When you have like a lot of outdoor scenes with action going on, you're trying to figure out who's who and what that guy is. That the guy?
Give me color.
What did he just do?
Yeah, color is much better for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
but I still think that was a really good movie.
It was a great movie.
I'm excited. I would go watch his other stuff. Like I saw Rashomon many years ago. And I have wanted to see a couple of his other movies. So.
Well, if there are remakes, Brandon, I mean, and they're not 3 hours long, we can maybe do a podcast about them.
I think Rashomon was adapted. I don't know. I'll check.
Okay.
Probably was under a different name, but yeah.
You're in charge of that one.
Okay.
All right, good.
I'm glad we liked Kurosawa.
Yeah, I mean, listen, could he have made it in English and it would have been better? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would.
That also brought up, like, I was sitting there going, like, would I watch this dubbed? And I wouldn't watch it dubbed.
I'll watch
Godzilla movies dubbed all day. I don't give a fuck, even though...
Like, they're generally shorter, too, though, right?
What?
Well, Godzilla... Well, dubbed?
I think
you'd rather do a
dubbed
Godzilla movie than a subtitled one?
Well, I'll report back to you, because Nick and I are going through the entire Criterion Collection and comparing, actually, the Japanese versus the international releases. But, yeah, no, I'll watch dubs all day long, like, on a Godzilla movie, because it's just a Godzilla movie. I'm not really there for the art of the film. I'm there for the fucking giant monsters fighting each other.
Fair.
But with this, I am glad that there wasn't dubbing, because, like, you would not have gotten Toshirô Mifune's, like, the Kikuchi character's performance as... You wouldn't have gotten it nearly as well.
Yeah, but that's like 15 minutes of the movie. I think for the rest of the movie, I'd still rather not read subtitles and be able to watch what's going on screen.
Fair enough.
Plus, like, some different voices. Like, give them anime voices. Like, give me like, a Goku. Like,
get Steve Blum in there, too. And, like, some just all those famous, like, Vegeta and all that shit. You'd be like, oh, look, it's Gohan. Oh, look, it's Vegeta.
Give me something to work with here, guys. I mean, as it is, a lot of the characters, listen, they're all supporting the same look, which is like this.
A little tricky.
They're all, I guess this was a thing
that
at
was
the
a
time,
style, of course.
Shaved bald,
traditional, yeah,
up top,
mm-hmm.
but you keep the hair around the sides, mm-hmm. so it looks like you're like, you have the most absurd horseshoe of baldness
it's so weird.
Ever.
But it was 100% the thing.
And so, I even think they knew, like, some of these characters were going to be hard to differentiate, because the characters, the ones you remember, were very distinct.
Yes.
Like, the guy, was it Mazmo or whatever?
Monzo,
Like, the guy with the face... Who's always like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
Like, he always...
The guy with the daughter, right?
Yes, yes. He was always, like, sobbing and
but
this look on his face.
And even though he was wearing the same gray stuff, like, he had a headband and gray wispy hair. Like, you could tell him apart in that from a distance in that respect.
Little distinctions,
yes,
I think they tried to
subtle,
add.
Very
so they
subtle.
Weren't just generic-looking, colorless villagers.
Yes. And, like, a lot of them got a person... Apparently... I was reading that.
More than the necessary.
Yeah. Kurosawa apparently had, like, a backstory written for everybody in that village. Like, he had, like,
good
everybody
for him.
Named and everything. I was like, all right, fair enough. Yeah. That fucking scene, though, with the burning. Oh, that part fucked me up.
Which one?
Where she's. So they go to raid.
Oh, where
they advance raid. Yeah, they wanted to advance. Like, they wanted to raid on the bandits before they attacked them.
Right.
And
preemptive strike.
They see this, like, flophouse where everybody's passed out, and they're going to burn it. And they start burning.
Right before they did that, I turned to Christina. I was like, you light it on fire.
And that's what he did.
The guy goes, light it on fire. I was like, this guy is brilliant.
So what's really messed up is one of the consorts or concubines, whatever, kidnapped woman basically, wakes up and sees the flames and doesn't shout out and accepts her fate in that moment. And you're like, oh, fuck. And then everybody starts scrambling. The door opens up. And she's starting to be she's like the last one walking out, and you realize it's that one villager's wife who's there. Mm-hmm. And he goes to try to rescue her, and she's so ashamed that she runs back into the fucking fire. I was like, oh. Just I was like, I knew this movie was going to be dark, dog. But like, holy shit. Oh, that was rough.
That's like, that's some, that's like, this is an action movie, but like, that is some real life, like,
yes. Yeah.
Hardcore feudal Japan,
yeah.
Facts of life shit.
Exactly. Holy fuck.
Hey, listen, sometimes like, your like wife grapes, gets abducted by a wrath, band of raiders.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And that just happens.
Like, that's just what happened. It's just a sex life. Slave. Like, holy fuck.
We don't have the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how's your day? Oh, well, you know, I farmed all day and then my wife got abducted and she's been being raped for 10 years.
Some say it's a hard life, you know.
It was, and they made it seem like it was a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, long time.
I mean, if they came yearly, you'd think it would be the last year.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I liked how they understood. The Raiders were like, oh, we just took their barley last year. We're going to wait until next
year. How perfect was the setting up of the premise in the beginning of the movie? That was like, even though it was a slow movie, they set up the premise like that.
Very quickly.
Just
that one scene with the bad guys talking about it. And then they're like, we need samurai.
Yeah, that was it.
And that's it. And we're off to town to find samurai.
Yes.
Yeah,
that we take an hour to do that.
But I'll tell you what, that bad guy did not receive nearly as much characterization
Calvera.
His name. Calvera, from The Magnificent Seven.
Yes.
Who had, he brought a certain gravitas to the role.
Yeah, he did. He was very much like, scenery, let me eat this.
Oh, choo choo choo.
Nom 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 nom.
He was. Even he did scene. Most of the world building for that movie too.
Yes, he did. He explained the setting.
He was like, "Oh, you know, I'm good. It's better down here in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I rob one bank in Texas, and they chase me for miles.
The whole army. Bank. Yeah, yeah.
For one bank, and he's like, down here, no one bothers me.
Yeah.
And he's like, go back up north. Go home. He's telling the samurai essentially.
Yeah.
The cowboys.
The gun.
Which was, I just thought he added so much to the movie.
In
2 hours, they did such good characterization on a
smaller scale. Yeah,
group of characters.
Yeah,
because it was really the seven
and
samurai.
You even also got the villagers as well. Like
some
similar,
of them
similar
to a lesser degree. What was
you didn't
it?
Get
One
like
or two
deep,
villagers.
You didn't get like super deep.
You had like the bartender.
Yeah, who was the trainer?
Who else?
You had like the guy who can't stop talking.
Okay,
who just has like the boring conversations, like the three guys who went to find.
Yeah,
yeah, they're.
But I feel like even their roles were toned down.
Yeah, fair enough.
Versus the Kurosawa.
No, agreed. But you even like you got to know them a little bit at least.
You really only cared about the Magnificent Seven
mm-hmm.
and kind of their group dynamic.
Yes,
and a little bit about when they were watching them go up to Boot Hill, I was like, oh, it's the farmers. Like I didn't even put that together at first. I was like, oh, the farmers are here in this scene.
Yes,
shit, right. Yeah. I forgot they even existed. I saw Steve McQueen and I was like, oh yeah, cowboys.
Yeah.
what's going on?
It was really good though. Yeah. The music was excellent.
Music and both were phenomenal.
Yes, in both, yeah. But there was like I forget who was it wasn't anybody I know, but it was like, it was a Bernstein, but it wasn't Leonard Bernstein. It was like another Bernstein who did the soundtrack, but it was that like, almost, what's that song? The Champion of... I don't know. There's like a great Americana song that it said like,
oh my God, I know the exact
song
you're
just
talking
like
about.
That. Yeah.
It's like the Beef
Triumph
it's
of
for
the
Dinner
Modern Man or something.
Song. That's exactly what it is.
Is it? Yeah.
It's
something like that.
I'm almost 100%.
Music people listening know exactly what I'm talking
about. Very similar to that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It sounded a lot like that. It was such a perfectly like archetypal Western soundtrack. It was perfect.
Beef.
Yeah.
It's What's for Dinner.
I think that's funny. That's what you know.
That song.
It is the beef song. It is the beef song. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, it was phenomenal. I thought the whole thing was, both movies were a positive experience.
Oh, yeah.
Watch Seven Samurai on a night where you have nothing else to do and you're really
in. You got
to
be in the mood. You do have to be in the mood.
Yeah.
You have to understand what you're getting into.
Unlike these jokers.
So next week we're doing the 2016?
Yes. I think it was.
Yes, 2016?
Yeah.
You guys are so lucky I decided to text you, by the way, because I almost said I'm going to let them find out by themselves, but then I was like,
that
Brandon might
disaster.
Not have enough time.
I ended up watching them early, but that would have been a disaster.
I know, right?
Thank you.
I usually do one on Wednesday, one on Thursday.
Yeah.
I try to get one in before Sunday. Like, if I haven't watched one of them by Sunday, I'll watch one of them Sunday night, and then I'll watch the other one either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Yeah, 2016, yeah.
Okay, so next week, 2016 Magnificent Seven, right? It's a remake of the cowboy version.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. By Kurosawa.
This what?
Yep.
No, this one's by Antoine Fuqua.
Is he still around? Kurosawa? He's probably got to be dead, right?
He's got to be dead by now.
Got to be. Yeah. Got to be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, guys. Well, this has been fun. We'll see you again next week with some more Magnificent Seven. And, you know, stay safe.
Yeah.
I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.